When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
All right, off and running on tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi holding it down for today, tomorrow, Thursday. But don't worry, Carver will be back on Friday night. We'll get you locked and loaded for the college picks officially. Week number one. We have a lot to get to tonight. We inch a step closer to week one of college football. It is officially college and pro NFL action season starts on Carver and Lisi. We know we'll sprinkle in the baseball. We'll definitely talk about the golf when Carver comes back. I missed a parlay last night in regards to that gutless Miami Marlin and Colorado game. I jump back on the bandwagon tonight. I'm on the over in Atlanta. Minnesota altered that. I got to check. I think 10.5. Altered San Diego and St. Louis up to 9.5. And I went back with Marlins and Colorado. I altered that bad boy up to 14.5. We got some scoring. Braves just hit a two-run shot, so they're up 2-0. Top two on the Twins and top two in St. Louis. Cards lead 2-0. Updated games. These Cubs all of a sudden love Pittsburgh because they bashed the Pirates last night. They're up now 5-2 on the Pirates, end of four. So top five, Cubs up with the three-run lead. Philly all over Houston tonight. Top five, Phillies up 4-0. Cleveland in a dogfight against the Guardians, 2-1. But they do have runners on first and second. Two outs right now. Dead under in Cincinnati. So thankful I didn't take that, which probably means that it'll probably get through the in-game total right now. Top six, Athletics threatening with runners on first and third. Two outs. Nationals up on the Yankees 3-0. And bottom three, Boston and Toronto. Boston now 3-1. What did I say? About, you know, I've been saying it all since the All-Star break. You blind bet the Twins over, the Boston over, and basically the Met over. If you did that from the All-Star break till now, and even before that, you're probably backing up the Brinks truck because all they do is either score runs or get shellacked and shelled, and you could cash some tickets. So what I did is, of course, I went in on the Braves, San Diego, and Colorado in the parlay. So we'll see if we can nail it tonight. Week one in college football, I started going through the breakdowns. I already put some picks in. We're going to be joined tonight by Mike Dettillier, who's a Saints and LSU insider, does a bunch of radio out there in New Orleans. So we'll get Mike's take on New Orleans and Dennis Allen. How does Rattler look? Does he have the potential to maybe push Derek Carr if Derek Carr and that offense don't start fast week one against Carolina? And then more importantly, the Bayou Bengals open up on Sunday night in Las Vegas. And Brian Kelly, now in year three, is standing there. He overexceeded expectations in year one, okay? He wins an SEC West championship when nobody thought he could. He comes back last year, leads the team to a 9-3 overall record, and then does have Jaden Daniels that was the Heisman Trophy winner. So now is year number three. There's a bevy of talent in LSU. You have Garrett Nussmeier that takes over. You have C.J. Daniels, the transfer wide receiver from Liberty. You have Kyron Lacy. That was the third, I want to say, peg in the wheel for that offense. Everybody remembers Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, and rightfully so. Kyron Lacy was the third option for Jaden Daniels. So this offense is going to be prolific. You have Mason Taylor at the tight end position. You get John Emery, that's been there God knows how long. I got to ask Mike that. 6-7 years maybe. He comes back for a sixth season along with Josh Williams. But what does that defense look like? Can they slow down Miller Moss and USC? And I know that sounds crazy, but Miller Moss and USC right now are coming into this as a dog. Lincoln Riley has tempered down expectations right now. Think about this for a second. He had Caleb Williams. He was picked as the front runner not only to win the Pac-12, but to potentially knock down and be a front runner for a college football playoff appearance. They got there with Caleb in year number one, lost to Utah, and then fell off a cliff last year and got boat raced by a bevy of teams. Oregon, Washington down the stretch, Notre Dame, and they limped to basically and above about a 550 winning percentage. Now, Miller Moss stepped up last year, right? He stepped up in the bowl win over Louisville. The tempered down expectations to win a Big Ten championship for Lincoln Riley are 20-1. He, in the offseason, he was like 23, 24. In some books, he was like 26-1 in terms of conference realignment. Think about that. They were carrying him in the middle of the streets of Los Angeles, the savior of the program. Come back, Lincoln. The heydays of Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Lendale White, they were all there. All Lincoln Riley had to do was sprinkle his pixie dust on USC. Dun 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 dun. Boy, what a difference 3 years makes, huh? If it's not going to be this year, when's it going to be, Lincoln? So they need a great showing Sunday night in Las Vegas. It's a standalone game. All eyes will be on LSU. All eyes will be on USC. And whichever team wins, and by margin of victory, if Brian Kelly dominates and LSU dominate, they go from a plus 125 team to make the college football playoff to probably minus money. That is the difference, and those are the repercussions about what plays out in regards to Sunday night. If you're USC and you're Lincoln Riley and you strike the upset, well, guess what? Open it up, because then we'll have basically two top 25 upsets in less than a week, depending upon what happens on Saturday. And knowing what happened with Florida State, and all of a sudden those odds open up for the gamblers looking to make some noise. All of a sudden those teams in the Big 12 and the Big 10 respectively potentially are licking their chops, right? And SEC as well. That's what it's all about. There is no margin of error when it relates to college football. Even with an expanded playoff, the perception changes dramatically after one game. It's put up or shut up. There is no preseason. You can go off for last year, but you have no idea how these teams are going to come out of the gate. It's like the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, you got the favorite. You got the 9-2 shot. He's too far ahead to lose. No way. No shot. And the upset's going to happen. And here comes Giacomo. Here it comes from the Big 12, Giacomo. 50-1, 90-1. Something's going to give. Georgia Tech showed that this past weekend. That's the difference between college football and the NFL. We got 14 weeks to get it right, and you better start fast. So we're just getting started right here, baby. This is what it's all about. We're going to break down, obviously, with Mike, the Saints and LSU, but I'm going to dive deeper as well in regards to the conference odds. So we will see. We'll dive into those Thursday and Friday night games, give you out some picks, and we'll get you prepped and ready for college football season. Coming right back on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pump it, Matias. Hit for Bell behind the scenes. Gotta love it. All right, we left off talking about LSU and USC. We're going to get into that as we progress with Mike Dettillier out there in Louisiana. We'll get the update in regards to the injury report, hopefully, as well for the LSU Tigers. See what he thinks as well of that defense, because that is the main concern of LSU, not just up against USC, but big picture in the SEC. Can they win it? That defense needs to step up and get much better, and hopefully they can do that this coming season. We'll give you quick updates in regards to the baseball. There is still a rain delay in Detroit. No score, top one. We'll see if they get started there. Angels and Tigers, top five. We have Cubs 5-2, threatening again. Runners on first and second, one out. Pirates, I'll give you the updated odds in a couple of minutes. I'm a little bit locked out here. Phillies top five right now, still 4-0 over the Stros. Astros runners on first and second, two outs. So we'll see if they can threaten in regards to that matchup. And then we have Cincinnati and Oakland. Two outs, bases loaded, top six. Athletics are threatening here. See if they come through. I was probably going to take that game. That updated line right now is 4.5 total, so I can tell you that right now. No shot that that's going to happen in regards to Cincinnati. You got Yankees trail the Nationals 3-0. In-game total is 5.5. Juice to the over at -135. Yankees +470 on the money line. Red Sox top 4, 3-1. But Blue Jays are runners at second and third and only one out. Total is ballooned to 11.5. Juice to the under heavily at -148. Hey, here come the Braves and Twins. Twins threatening right now. Second and third. How many outs? Two? I can't even see on this ColecoVision. They got out. They threatened. They had second and third. Two outs and no good. 8.5 is the total at -114 either way. 4-2. Pound them. Pound them. Padres all over. The Cardinals and Nicolas. 12.5 now is the total. Juice to the over at -128, and they're just getting started. Brew Crew and the Giants, no score. Total 7.5. You got Webb and Turang on the mound. And then that 8:40 start, which I'm on already. Miami and Colorado. I altered that bad boy up to 14.5. So we'll see how that goes. Some line movement in regards to college football. And then that'll be a prelude, hopefully, to when Mike comes on at the bottom of the hour. But I told you about that line in regards to Thursday night. North Carolina, now a 1.5-point favorite, 49.5. That's a tough total because you have a Minnesota team that plays very good defense and going up against now Max Johnson is listed as number one on the depth chart. Omari Hampton as well, one of the best running backs in college football. Crazy story. They offered like Omari Hampton like $600,000 or $700,000, some crazy amount to transfer. They didn't say the team. But they offered him like a crazy amount, or maybe it was like one-sixth, $1.6 million. I have to get the exact amount to transfer, but he decided to stay in Chapel Hill. But they're going to try and spread it, put the pressure on Minnesota to match them score for score. Now, I will say, P.J. Fleck is very good as an underdog, especially at home. Now, typically, you know, it's basically a pick 'em, and, you know, Fleck is much better when he's catching, like, double digits. But I do want to see right now, see exactly how much Omari Hampton was given or offered in regards to the NIL money, which is absolutely crazy when you think about that. But so here's the matchup. North Carolina wants to spread it up-tempo. You got Max Johnson that played fairly well. He completed over 60% of his passes, taken over for Connor Wegman last year. Okay, they had a very limited wide receiver core outside of Smith. Texas A&M with Jimbo was a deer in the headlights. The offensive line broke down, and Max Johnson was hit multiple times in regards to that offense. He basically was a pinata back there. They hit him early, they hit him often, and he still stuck in the pocket and played fairly well. 62%, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I believe his best game, and I just want to double check, was against Ole Miss. He completed 31 of 42 for 305. They lost that game 38-35. That game went down to the wire. There were a couple of questionable calls in that game. But that was his last game of the regular season. So against Minnesota, very good secondary. They play a lot of zone. They're going to force a lot of balls underneath, and they have to be patient. I'm not sold on North Carolina now. I'm not sold in regards to their defense. I'm not sold in regards to the team as a whole. They're a 45-1 shot to win the ACC when you just think about that. Mack Brown had Sam Howell. He had Drake May. They were listed at the top for much of the past couple of years in regards to the conference. And now the tempered expectations here are absolutely ridiculous. You want to talk about value. That's value right now when you just look at North Carolina and where they stand. They're behind. They are 1, 2, 3. They're like 10th choice at 35-1 now behind Georgia Tech, SMU, Vatech, Louisville, NC State. I mean, unbelievable when you think about the regression under Mack Brown. I sort of like Minnesota as a home dog. We'll get more into it. We'll break down some other games on Thursday and Friday. Coming right back on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back! Dealing with some minor technical snafus, but fear not, we're back on Carver and Lisi. Quick update in the baseball, Atlanta 2-0 over Minnesota. Bases loaded, bottom two. Cards with the bases loaded, two outs, 4-2. Hopefully they can convert. I was talking about quickly Minnesota and that matchup with North Carolina. Minnesota last year held opposing offenses to 219 passing yards per game. They did allow 23 touchdowns, but did force 13 interceptions as a unit. Last year, also held opposing offenses to about 62% completion percentage. They were a bend but don't break defense, didn't give up a lot of chunk plays, and you can make the argument as well they didn't face a lot of elite quarterbacks, maybe in regards to outside of J.J. McCarthy and a couple others within the Big Ten. So now they're going to be challenged by the offense. Max Johnson, we'll see if he's up to the task in terms of this matchup. I do feel that Minnesota has an advantage in the trenches, and we'll see if they can run the football on that front seven from North Carolina. Minnesota, as you know, great running backs, blue-collar type of offensive line. They average 157 rushing yards per game last year. If they can keep this under the 49.5, I think they have a very good opportunity as a plus 1.5 dog, and more importantly, plus 140 underdog in this ballgame to win it outright, but we'll give you a pick as we inch closer to this game on Thursday night. I brought up the Colorado game as well. North Dakota State now catching 9.5. That's an intriguing matchup. You have an offensive line that completely broke down for Shedeur Sanders and Colorado. Not only that, but they couldn't stop the run. They're going to be tested by North Dakota State as well. Blue-collar team that wants to run it. Their quarterback, Cam Miller, very experienced as well. And that defense, very disciplined. So if Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and that offense come in, that they're just going to throw caution to the wind, they could get upset in terms of that matchup. And then big picture, what does that do for Colorado? It doesn't affect, again, their Big 12 hopes. But I said it last night, and I'll say it again, is that this team started 3-0 last year. And once they lost to Oregon, the wheels came off and like the season was over. And it was either undefeated or bust. And for that program, they need to get back to bowl eligibility and respectability. So I want to see how this game does play out in regards to this matchup. Again, blue-collar team, very disciplined going up against the Ferrari and Shedeur Sanders and Deion as well. We'll come back, talk more LSU and some New Orleans Saints talk. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, it's officially college football season. Huge, and I mean huge, top 10 battle, top 25 battle, LSU, USC in Las Vegas. What better way to break it down than with the LSU insider, Mike Dettillier from WWL 870 in Louisiana. Mike, talk to me. You getting excited for Sunday?
Absolutely. Just hope it turns out better than the last two openers for LSU. You know,
absolutely.
LSU has not won a season opener since the national championship year of 2019.
Unbelievable, Mike. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, but I am, they call me on the show the LSU homer. I've been an LSU Tiger fan since the days of Gary James, Dalton Hilliard, Kevin Falk, Trev Falk. You know, you go, the list goes on and on. I mean, Keith Ford, I mean, Michael Ford, I mean, I know them all. And I actually picked LSU to win the SEC West in year number one for Brian Kelly. Now, obviously, this offense looks a little different this year. What have you seen in terms of spring camp and, more importantly, fall camp that is a positive sign for this team? Because offensively, we know they have it. It's that defense with Greg Penn and Perkins that need to step up.
Yeah, no question about it. You have four of your five starting offensive linemen returning. That's a lot up front. And this team hasn't produced a first-round pick offensive lineman since Alan Faneca. Alan's in Pro Football's Hall of Fame today. And now you got two guys potentially that could go in round one in Will Campbell and Emory Jones, the starting tackles. So you're strong up front. I think this is a huge year for Mason Taylor. When you lose a Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., there is no next man up. Okay, you can say it, but you don't believe it. They do have a lot of talented young receivers in the lineup, and I think Kyron Lacy will make that move. But I think the guy who's really going to kind of soar up this year, and that's going to be Mason Taylor at tight end. It's an area Brian Kelly always sort of put a lot of emphasis on at Notre Dame. I think he's going to put a tremendous amount of emphasis on at LSU. It's going to look differently because you're not going to have a quarterback that rushes for 1,100 yards. Garrett Nussbaum is a different guy. Now, he moves around the pocket pretty well, and he's sneaky kind of quick to get away from pressure. But he's got a gun on him. And I'll be honest with you, my comparison, and him and I got to talk at Manning camp, and I told my He's like, because I knew his dad, because his dad was a coach in this area, and then he was a player with the Saints for a while as a backup. And Garrett told me, he said, Coach, what do you think, you know, who you compare me to? And I said, a young Baker Mayfield. Not personality-wise, playing style, in that he moves around well, and he thinks he can put a ball anywhere out on the field. So he's going to make some mistakes trying to force some balls in, but he's going to make a lot of big plays. It's always going to be running back by committee, and Josh Williams, and I think the next superstar on this football team, and that's Caleb Jackson. Man, Caleb is going to be a big-time player for LSU, so I don't have an issue with the offense. I think the big question mark will be, can they stop the run defensively with their interior defensive line and at cornerback? I think there, you know, you're playing three, sometimes four corners. I know two of them, but I can't tell you the rest. But the one thing that can really mess up a passing game is a pass rush. And I think that with they're going to use Perkins a lot differently than what you saw a year ago. LSU's defensive coaching staff did a better job taking Perkins out than any offense did in the SEC last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the biggest thing as well, is that when Perkins, you know, freshman year, when they knock off Arkansas and they win the SEC West, he was a freshman phenom with 13.5 sacks, and then the sky's the limit in terms of his sophomore season, and then they have him playing more outside linebacker, and then the front seven breaks down. So I agree with you 100%. You brought up Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson. I actually like Josh Williams. He's a blue-collar kid. He changes now to number 18. Any concern, though, that Logan Diggs transferred out to Ole Miss, or do you still feel with Will Campbell in this offensive line, they'll be able to run it down anybody's throat?
They're going to run the football a lot more this year than they did any other time in the Brian Kelly time frame here at LSU. Josh is, you know, he doesn't fit in the computer well. You know, he's 5'7". He was a former walk-on. But, man, you talk about a tough kid. He's got really strong leg drive, catches the ball well coming out of the backfield. And the one thing he does, and Jane Daniels told me this a year ago, that, man, he said, I trusted him because if they blitz him from the interior, he picks it up. And I think that's a kind of a, you know, an unsung art of playing running back, of being able to be a good pass protector. Josh is that. But I'm just telling you, when Caleb Jackson touches the football, he is a dynamite football player. And I think, again, Brian has always talked about running back by committee. It's part of his gig. But Caleb's going to be a big part. And they get John Emery back.
Yep.
John Emery, it's his sixth year at LSU. And John played his high school football right up the road from where I live. Terrific back. He's had some injuries. And every once in a while, he put the ball on the ground. And so that drove Coach O, and it has driven Brian Kelly up the wall. But, man, John Emery is an explosive guy, too. And Caden Dunham, the freshman back, has also played really well. So running back won't be an issue for LSU. Be running the football. My thing is, who's going to be their number two receiver? Because the number one guy is going to be Kyron Lacy. But who's going to be the number two guy? Chris Hilton's nursing an injury. Kyle Parker seems to be the guy that will take his place. They got a lot of speed, not a lot of experience at wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where Daniels, the transfer for Liberty, hopefully he'll come in and, yep, and make some noise. And I think John Emery's the only member of the national championship team with Burrow still on the roster, right? He's there. I mean, he's on the 9-year
that's
program.
Correct.
You know, he's on the 9-year program, but we're happy to have him in terms of Death Valley. I do want to get you quick thoughts about Texas coming into the conference. Don't you feel like a lot of people are pumping them like, you know, they're just going to come in and be right there with Georgia? I mean, it's a different animal playing an SEC schedule week in and week out.
The gauntlet is difficult. And I spoke to Archie Manning and I. We did a show a week ago, and he was like, "Mike, you know, got to understand with his grandson there." He was like, "Texas gonna find out real quick. This ain't the Big 12. You know, the physicality of the SEC is there. Now, talent wise, I think the only team in the SEC who's got better talent than them is Georgia." But physically, how well you will hold up offensive, defensive line. Because I think that's where in the SEC, where you have seen the dominance of Alabama, and then now the dominance of Georgia, trace it back, their offensive and defensive lines. And they had injuries, but they always had really good depth. That's the question mark with Texas. I think they're the second best team in the SEC, though. I think Georgia's one, Texas is two. Question mark is who's three and four?
We'll come back. We'll talk NFL with Mike. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's it. It's officially football season on Carver and Lisi. Nothing better talking college, talking a little NFL. We're joined by Saints and LSU insider Mike Dettillier. Mike, I could talk to you for LSU for hours. We're going to get you on hopefully throughout the season. But, LSU is where it's at. But I do want to transition and just get your feel on where Dennis Allen and the Saints are. Because, you know, I was shocked that they kept him after last year. I know 9-8, but there are a lot of rumblings I saw in regards to the regular season that he sort of lost the team, right? And this team with Derek Carr could move the football between the 30s. It's just that once they got into red zone opportunities, they fell off a cliff. Now Rattler comes in. There's been some fans that want to see Rattler week one. What do you see from this team? And big picture, can they be a playoff contender?
Saints are stuck in football purgatory. Okay, bottom line, they're going to be an 8-win, maybe stretch it to 9, but they're the third best team in the NFC South. Right now, with Atlanta and Tampa Bay battling it out for the number one spot. I'll be honest with you, I was a little surprised too. Just the vibe of this team. Okay, Derek Carr is who he is. It's not going to change at his age. He's a middle-of-the-road starting quarterback in this league. And now their offensive line is in a shambles. All you know is Eric McCoy is your center, and Cesar Ruiz is your right guard. Taliaferro Fuaga, I think, is going to be a really good player. But they moved him from right tackle to left tackle. There's a little transition in that. Their right tackle now, Trevor Penning's been a complete bust for this team. But he's going to start week one. And their left guard, they're going to go with the journeyman and Lucas Patrick. Look at that. This team couldn't run the ball a year ago. I'm not expecting that's going to change either. So the big question marks for me are all on offense. They have some talent on defense. And then adding Chase Young, Willie Gay to the lineup, I think is really good. The best cornerback group, you know, I've watched this team since day one as a kid. They've never had cornerbacks this good. But offensively, man, at times it was offensive to watch. And they could not score in the red zone. There is no Superman coming out of the telephone booth to save you. You are who you are at this stage. They've hired new coaches, but you still got the same guys on offense.
Yep.
So I agree with you totally. I think this team is a middle-of-the-road team, 7-8, maybe a 9-win team, but they're clearly the third-best team in the NFC South behind Atlanta and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Tampa Bay gets a bad rap, but they've won the division three straight years. Baker Mayfield has more, and I said this, Baker Mayfield has more quality playoff wins than Kirk Cousins. Has the playoff win over Pittsburgh with Cleveland and beat Philadelphia last year. Kirk Cousins only has the win against the Saints after Drew Brees was basically at the end of his career, right? 6 years ago? I mean, that's a long time coming. I agree with you. I think the bigger question, too, Mike, is Dennis Allen, right? We know that he's a defensive mastermind, but I feel like he also wants to win games or try to win games 17-13 as opposed to trying to outscore opponents, let's say 40-20, right? When Carr is hot, he's afraid to take shots. And this team as a whole, do you feel, sort of missed out on that window when they thought Taysom Hill was the answer at quarterback?
Yeah, I really do. And they didn't spend an early round pick on a quarterback because they had Drew all those years, you know, and that goes to show you, you know, I say this all the time when I do a sports talk, this next man up stuff, it depends on who the next man is. That's great to hear in the locker room. That's, and some reporters repeat it, which is even stupider. Okay, there is that certain mentality if you have an injury, somebody's got to take his place, but he isn't as good. Drew Brees cured a lot of ills on this football team. But they didn't have the guy that could take his place. They didn't set it up similar to what's happening in Atlanta with Michael Penix waiting in the wings to be the guy. And you knew Drew's not turning back the hands of time here. And Sean had convinced himself Taysom could be a quarterback. Now, I will say, in covering this league almost 40 years, I cannot compare Taysom Hill to one guy in that 40-year time frame of what he can do as a runner, as a receiver, playing on special teams. But, you know, he couldn't throw the football well enough to be a consistent quarterback. And I think this team has missed the boat. It really, really has. And now you've got some age starting to creep up on defense with Tyrann Mathieu, Demario Davis, who's been an unbelievable player, and Cam Jordan.
Yeah, I love Demario Davis. It's amazing that he is as productive as he has been since coming out of Arkansas State. I mean, he's just he's around the football almost each and every play. I'm with you. I look at the NFC and I say, okay, Tampa has a shot, you know, to be that dark horse. I also feel like the Rams with Stafford, as long as he's healthy, anybody else outside of obviously San Francisco and Philly, and if you want to throw Detroit in there, that's fine. But anybody else you feel can make some noise in terms of the conference?
Green Bay Packers. They're my Super Bowl pick in the NFC.
Gotta love
you
it.
You look at the talent they've accumulated on defense. They had a change at the coordinator position, which they needed to do. But, man, they can run the football well. They've got all these really young receivers and tight ends. And if Jordan Love plays anything like he played down the stretch, they are going to be in the hunt. The sleeper team to watch may well be Seattle. I don't know what they're going to get out of Geno Smith, but that team is very talented.
All right, Mike, always a pleasure. We'll see how it plays out this season. We'll come back, talk more NFL, more college football, right here on Carver and Lisi.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi. Great insight from Mike Dettillier, Saints and LSU insider, does a ton of radio and TV and writes for a number of papers out there in the New Orleans area. Great insight on Dennis Allen. Great insight on Brian Kelly. What that offense will look like. He did mention Caleb Jackson as being a standout star for the LSU Tigers. We'll see. That was an Achilles heel for USC in regards to run support. They have a new defensive coordinator in terms of De'Anthony Lynn that comes over from UCLA. They allow basically 159 rushing yards per game. And 4.6 yards per rush in almost each and every carry. So that needs to get better if USC is going to challenge physicality. Brian Kelly's going to look to run it down their throat. I can't take USC. I understand I have them actually making the playoff. I think they could be a 10-win football team, but I think they get boat raced on Sunday night. I just don't see it. I think the offensive line for LSU is too strong. I think the speed of LSU is the difference. And again, when you have a new scheme, now it's a new scheme on both sides. Blake Baker for LSU and obviously Lynn and USC. LSU has athletes. LSU has top five recruits that Brian Kelly and that staff have been building for 3 years now. Lincoln Riley has failed to build up the defensive side of the ball, held on to his coordinator, Alex Grinch, for way too long, and now is trying to put Band-Aids on that team. Okay? It's not going to happen, especially in my opinion, week number one, going up against an experienced quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier and athletes all over the field. Say what you want. Even if LSU potentially is out of position, Perkins, Greg Penn, they're going to figure it out in terms of the front seven. And I still buy into Brian Kelly being a much more complete head coach than Lincoln Riley. You could say what you want. Lincoln's a great offensive mind, but he got out-coached in a number of different aspects by inferior teams. And it even started when he took over Oklahoma and he made it to the college football playoff. People forget he had an 18-point lead on Kirby Smart, and he failed to make adjustments. That has been the MO for Lincoln Riley throughout his career. Okay? He wins games when he has the better offense and he could outscore teams 50-30. When he has to actually adjust his offensive scheme a la Notre Dame last year in the second half or other games, Utah in the Pac-12 championship, he can't do it. And people will say, well, Caleb got hurt. Yeah, Caleb got hurt, but his defense couldn't stop anybody either. Okay, Cam Rising was throwing darts throughout to Dalton Kincaid and those tight ends throughout the game. Okay, you have to adjust. It's one thing to have an offensive, defensive game plan, but as the game plays out, you need to adjust accordingly, and that's something Lincoln Riley fails to do. Brian Kelly, great game planner, great second half adjuster as well in terms of the big matchups. Knock off Nick Saban in year one. If Jaden Daniels doesn't get hurt last year in terms of the second half, could have been a different outcome as well in Tuscaloosa. I know that Daniels threw the pick, but still was in a position to potentially pull out that matchup. I got to believe that in year three, they're poised for a breakout this year. I honestly believe that. I like them at plus 125 to make the playoff. I think they're a legitimate shot to potentially win the SEC. At 10-1, 12-1 in some books, depending upon where you want to go. This isn't a homer talking. This is based off of Brian Kelly, and he's a phenomenal road coach. The fact that he has struggled in back-to-back years in terms of week one, losing both games. I keep forgetting that they missed the extra point against Florida State a couple of years ago in New Orleans. They lost basically the home and home on a neutral field to the Florida State Seminoles. They're going to be poised. They're going to be ready. And let's not forget, USC and Lincoln tried to get out of this game multiple times. Is their head going to be in it? We'll see Sunday night. Love the Bayou Bengals. We'll come back with hour two talking NFL. Nothing better.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.